everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 14th of June, 2012. Today is Flag Day. So if you have a flag, and I hope you do, I hope you were or are flying it right now. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI. We like to call it Tucson's intelligent voice, a station with great reach covering all of Southern Arizona. We live stream our show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. And the show is posted to three websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. We lead off the show right now with former Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup, who joins me in studio. Mayor Walkup served 12 years as the leader of this city. Mayor, how are you?
Very good.
You were out a couple of weeks ago doing some bicycling. You're a very active guy for, well, you're looking really good, by the way, for 75.
Yeah,
75. But you kind of overdid it, I guess.
I really overdid it. And I suspect, Bill, that there's a lot of people out there listening that will recognize how easy it is to all of a sudden overdo it in Tucson. I mean, you get up and there's all kinds of things to do, and people say, well, let's go, and you go out
but
there.
But they forget to take the water.
Well, and also the night before, they were doing something on the Friday and were dehydrated when they left the house at 7 in the morning, which is what happened to me.
Mm. You were dehydrated and so
going out,
and wound up in the hospital.
I did.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I'm a little proud that I knew something wasn't right.
Really?
And and I talked to Beth, and she said, what's wrong? And I said, I don't feel very good. And she said, well, what do you want to do? And I kind of went through the how bad do I really feel? And I said, I think I need to go to the hospital. So I called it. But I tell you, the fire department ambulance was there in 2.5 minutes.
That's great response time.
EKG was hooked up, and before I got to St. Mary's, they were already looking at what was going on. So it was quite an experience. But
well, you learned a lesson about the liquids. Something we all could do. I mean, I don't drink enough water.
Well, Bill, they told me that one of the problems with older people, and I now fall into that category, we don't get as thirsty as we used to.
That's true.
So we don't drink based upon, well, I feel thirsty. And we ought to be drinking 12-ounce glasses of water every day, whether we want to or not. And that's the key.
Hopefully it's Culligan, one of our sponsors. We're drinking Culligan water right now, the best bottled water here in town.
No doubt about it.
How many times we've talked over the years about downtown? You're looking at downtown. One of the things that you're very proud to have brought to this area is the modern streetcar. And there are a lot of the naysayers that say, oh, it's never going to amount to anything.
Well, they can say that. But I tell you, all you have to do, Bill, is think back. There were decades when downtown was collapsing and being boarded up. And boy, you cannot say that today. I'm telling you, the dirt's flying. The strategy on the modern streetcar is get it done fast. And I can assure you that once it's in place, everybody will say, well, gee, that was easy. It's anything but easy. But it's everything for the future of the city of Tucson. It's everything. Downtown will come alive. There will be investments in downtown, new businesses, new jobs, new opportunities for Tucson. It is absolutely the future of Tucson.
Bob Walkup is with us, former mayor of the city of Tucson. If you would like to comment on anything the mayor said, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. Perhaps you're not as enthusiastic as the mayor about the modern streetcar. A lot of folks complaining it's just killing their business right now.
It'll be done soon, Bill. And everybody, do you remember I-10 coming through the middle of town?
I don't remember that. Perhaps when was it?
Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, I took calls that says that absolutely the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
That we cannot survive that. And now, Look how nicely that is performing. Streetcar will be exactly like that, and then it's going to go down Campbell, then it's going to go down Broadway, and the city will be connected with a modern streetcar.
New members of the Rio Nuevo board, you're very pleased with Fletcher McCusker and Mr. Schieff, Christopher Schieff?
Oh, absolutely. There are two guys that recognize the value of a revitalized downtown, and I think that they're going to look through a lot of the rhetoric that's been going on for the last couple of years, put that aside and say, now how can we start working together for the people of Tucson, which is exactly what the state legislature had in mind when they said, all right, let's all get together and finish the job.
You look at Rio Nuevo, and you were, of course, involved from its pretty much inception. Were some good things done with Rio Nuevo?
Oh, my gosh.
People don't talk about infrastructure.
No. As a matter of fact, they don't talk about it.
At all. They just say 200 and what is it?
$230 million and nothing
to
show for it.
Down the train. Nothing to show for it.
Well, I tell you, everything that was done had to be done sooner or later. So the remediation of the landfill. Now, if you want to talk about a bad decision, putting a landfill at the heart of the origin of the city of Tucson is a stupid idea.
Basically a dump.
It was a dump. Right? So a lot of work on infrastructure, a lot of work on acquisition. We had to buy a lot of things. So, no, I think that the audit, which is about ready to come out, is going to show that there was no misdeeds. The money was spent on projects. There'll be a question on, well, why did you do this instead of that? And that's interesting, but that was a judgment call. To me, it's get on with it, and let's get the hotel done. Let's get the convention center working. Let's get housing downtown. Let's get the campus university downtown. Let's connect the west side with the east side. And see a downtown that we can be proud of.
So this forensic audit and the FBI report will show no criminal wrongdoing, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it will show no wrongdoing. It'll question judgments.
Mayor Bob Walkup with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. How many times do you hear that this community is business unfriendly? And in fact, many of the candidates who are running in these upcoming local elections criticize city and county for being so business unfriendly. What does that mean?
That is one of those terms that when people come into the office and say, boy, this is an unfriendly place. I said, define that for me. It's tough to do. If that means, well, we don't let billboards, we're not putting billboards back down Speedway. That's kind of an unfriendly kind of a thing. Impact fees, they say, are kind of an unfriendly thing. But I tell you, the public, when you run for office, they say, oh, by the way, who pays for growth? Shouldn't the growth pay for growth? And that's what impacts are all about. We must get more friendly in getting rid of erroneous regulations and be more quick-minded. How can we help you solve some of these problems on getting on with business? And I know Ernie Duarte and the city is very conscious about making that a friendly part, but it does not mean you just get whatever you ask for.
But it was said while you were mayor, for year after year, this is a place that's unfriendly for business.
Now, it's a call that the city has worried about for the 12 years that I was there. And I think that we've made, during those 12 years, progress. All you have to do is take a look at what's going on downtown, that it is recovering, and talk to some of the people that are very quiet, the people that have, the businesses that have come to Tucson. They don't enter into the discussion of it's an unfriendly city because they made the decision to come here.
That's right. Well, we had Janos Wilder on the show on Friday. Janos was talking about he wouldn't have made the decision to come downtown if he didn't think we had passed what he called a break point.
Yes.
When he made that decision, he says, you know, we're now going not only light at the end of the tunnel, downtown has turned around.
No, and they don't enter into the conversation of unfriendly. TEP and building the large corporate headquarters.
Who's talking to them about it? If you ask TEP, what are they going to tell you about?
So there's a lot of people that said, look, We need as friendly as we can get, but let's all work hand in hand to make this a better place, more friendly with regulations. Let's not tax, by the way. By the way, the amount of taxing the city does on businesses is a lot less than happens in Phoenix. We do not have a renter tax, for example, that they have up in tax. We do not tax advertising, which they do up in Phoenix. So we got to work on it. City's got to work on it. But this is not that unfriendly a place to do business, I don't think.
You know, I ran into you, and I was glad I did, at the debate, the Ron Barber and Jesse Kelly and Mr. Manolakis debate at the Jewish Community Center, which this radio station carried, KVOI, one of the sponsors. And you were saying that you are very much a Ron Barber person, so you're very happy, I'm sure, that he won.
Yes. I think that the voters made the proper selection. I think that he had the background, the experience, the passion for the job, because the future is working across the aisle, getting some of these major issues done. And that's where you have to put the R's and D's behind you and start focusing on what do the people need to have a community, a region that prospers in the future. And Ron Barber has the experience and the knowledge to be able to best do that job.
You're happy, though, I believe, that Martha McSally has decided to get into it.
Well, that's going to make – that'll make
– I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, yeah. But I know that you admire Colonel McSally like a lot of people do.
First of all, I admire people that are willing to stand up and run for office. Bill, that is a wrenching experience to be able to make that decision. I'm going to run for office and make this a better place. McSally, at the end of that primary, was making some real solid sense.
I think she won on election day. She actually won the vote on election day. So
well,
she was coming on pretty strong.
Yeah, I think Ron is a very solid candidate, won well. He's got the backing of a lot of very, very decent and good people. That'll be an interesting race.
What are you doing now as far as filling your time?
Oh, my gosh, Bill. by the way, people ask me about retirement, and I can tell them it's Saturday morning every day.
Mm-hmm.
When you get up and you say, oh, boy, what am I going to do today? But I tell you one thing. Every time I leave the house, my good wife says, are you taking your bottle of water with you?
Well, I'll tell you, you're the busiest retired person. I mean, you're serving on board, you're traveling, you've got a lot of grandkids, and you're very proud of that. And you're a guy on the move.
I am. And I'm 75, Bill, and I'm healthy, and by gosh, I'm going to go all the way to the end. And but I tell you, I made a mistake. I said, I don't have to worry about this. I'm an invincible person out here in this heat, but I'm a smarter guy. And folks, let me tell you, take care of yourself out there in the heat.
Okay, Mayor Bob Walkup, it's always a pleasure. And we're going to have you on this program periodically to talk about kind of what's going on in the city and the region, because we like your insight. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. I love the city.
Thanks a lot. Bob Walkup with us on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our program is brought to you by Adobe House Antiques. Do you like antiques like I do? I really love them. Specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Drop in and say hello to Penny over at Adobe House Antiques. They're located in a beautiful building that was designed by the famed Tucson architect Josias Jostler. They're at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. More and more Arizona children are being raised by grandparents or other relatives for part of their childhoods. A new report titled Stepping Up for Kids, What Government and Communities Should Do to Sponsor Kinship Families has been published by the Anne E. Casey Foundation. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Penelope Jacks. Penelope is the Tucson director of the Children's Action Alliance. Penelope, how are you?
Very well. Good to be here.
Well, it's kind of surprising. I know that more and more grandparents are having to kind of step up to the plate, but this number of the number of children being raised by relatives in Arizona growing 63% in the last decade, that's amazing.
It's a tremendous number. There are about 60,000 kids in Arizona who are being raised by their grandparents right now. And that is a lot. That's a lot of kids, and they're kind of off the radar.
And, of course, about 3,600 of the children who have been abused or neglected or living with relatives who are serving as foster parents, but 15 times that number, that's more than 54,000 children who have no formal involvement with the Child Protective Services system. So, Penelope, why are these kids being raised by the relatives instead of their real parents?
Well, there aren't any really happy reasons for this. Sometimes the parents are deceased. Occasionally they're incarcerated. Often they suffer from mental illness. And sometimes there's substance abuse in the in the parents, and the grandparents step up and take over for those kids who, or those children who can't take care of their own children. And you know, many of them were retired, had their retirement plans, and those are all changed because now, once again, they're parents, often caring for young children.
We're speaking with Penelope Jacks of the Children's Action Alliance. In the past, Arizona, Penelope, as you know, has pioneered some very successful policies designed for kinship caregivers. What's happened to these policies?
Well, as the entire safety net has eroded in Arizona, health care for children, child care for children, other kinds of supports for families with difficulties have gone away. Grandparents caring for their children has suffered even more, partly because a lot of them are in informal arrangements. And so they have really borne the brunt of a lot of the Arizona budget cuts that we've felt in the last couple of years.
What are these policies that were so successful? Tell us a little bit about what was in place.
Well, for example, Kids Care is one, which offered health care for children who whose families were 200% of the poverty level. Child care, subsidized child care, Arizona has gotten rid of that for most working parents. Those are two really crucial examples. Also, various kinds of cash assistance for families in need.
The Arizona Grandparent Ambassadors, tell us a little bit about that.
What a great group of people. This is a group of grandparents who have come together to advocate for themselves and their grandchildren primarily to make sure the grandchildren get the services they need to become really effective contributing Arizonans. And they have are now working both at local level and are coming together with other grandparents statewide to create an agenda that they can work together on.
So they're really getting a voice now, and I wonder how, if we have some listeners who are grandparents taking care of relatives, where do they get more information about Arizona Grandparent Ambassadors?
They should go to, they can email to ggrandparentambassador@gmail.com, and soon there'll be a website, but we haven't got it yet.
But it does sound like they're doing a lot of good work. And, you know, the relatives that have stepped up, Penelope Jacks, to care for the kids when the parents can't due to whatever reason, the kinship caregivers, I understand, are more likely to be poor, single, older, less educated, and unemployed than families with parents. Is that true?
That is true, partly because mainly many of them are on fixed incomes. So that they don't have a lot of money. Some of them are older and in less than perfect health, and so are struggling from that point of view. So, they do struggle more than the parents at large, I'd say.
It's estimated that nearly 400,000 Arizona children are living in poverty, and I wonder if you could give us an update. This last legislative session, we keep hearing from some saying, well, at least now our budget is balanced. What did it do for kids in this state?
Very, very little. They did not restore kids' care, which is, as we know, a very important protection for children's health. They did not restore subsidized child care for working families, which keeps children safe and parents able to work. They did put in some money that would have been lost, that were federal dollars, that would have been lost, about $42 million. And so that's good. They made a few positive steps in Child Protective Service, but mainly it was not a good year for children. And the main reason is that, once again, they've eroded our tax base by giving very last-minute tax cuts to people who really don't need them while balancing the budget on the backs of children.
That's one in four of every kids in Arizona living in poverty. That percentage is up from 20% in 2007. It really is difficult for many families and kids in this state. And if you think it's a poor state, it is. Apache County, Arizona, the fifth worst child poverty rate in the country. That's really deplorable, Penelope.
It is deplorable, and it's unnecessary. I mean, that's what makes it saddest. that we do know what to do to help children out of poverty, and Arizona has chosen not to do a lot of it.
Where can people find out more about the Children's Action Alliance?
Oh, come to our website, which is azchildren.org.
Penelope Jacks, thank you very much for spending some time with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Anytime. I'm delighted to, and I hope that you will interview some grandparents sometime soon.
Okay, we'd love to do that. Thank you very much, Penelope.
Thanks
for being with us.
Bye-bye.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Republican Mitt Romney says President Obama is long on words, short on action when it comes to fixing the economy. Romney spoke in Cincinnati today, a couple of hundred miles away in Cleveland. The president said the nation is being held back by a stalemate in Washington. The man convicted of carrying out one of the largest Ponzi schemes in U.S. history, Alan Stanford, sentenced to 110 years in prison for bilking investors out of more than $7 billion over 20 years. Attorney General Holder says he wants to sit down with one of his leading congressional critics, Congressman Darrell Issa. State Department acknowledges those helicopters that Russia sent to Syria were actually being returned to Syria after being refurbished by the Russians. More details at srnnews.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
A Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:34. It's time for the CEO interview series on our show, presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of nearly 60 companies representing 16,000 jobs with a $2.1 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TRIO, TREOAZ.org. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Laura Shaw. Laura is Senior Vice President of Marketing and Communications for TRIO. Laura has been with TRIO since its inception in 2005 and has nearly 20 years of award-winning marketing experience. In 2010, Laura was named a Woman of Influence by Inside Tucson Business, and in 2011 was recognized as one of 11 ordinary women doing extraordinary things by the UA Eller College of Management. Laura, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. The TRIO-sponsored trip to San Diego has put your organization in the spotlight, with many in the community kind of questioning the value of these familiarization visits to other cities. Why San Diego, Laura?
Sure. Well, first, let's go back to what TRIO's mission is. We are an economic development agency representing the entire region in southern Arizona and the Tucson area, and we have a very focused mission. Our mission is traditional legs of the economic development stool: attraction, retention, expansion, and creation of businesses. And in order to be successful, we need a good product to sell and market out in the national and international business community, just like any other business. And our product is the Tucson region. So communities like Tucson compete for business just like companies have competitors with their own products and services. So just like a business, the TRIO board really feels strongly that it must benchmark itself against other communities, find out what's working, what's not working, and then most importantly, adapt those lessons to Tucson. I think it's also important to remember that these trips are very common. Most communities do them. San Diego also does them, Denver, Portland, et cetera, usually through an economic development group like TRIO or a Chamber of Commerce. I worked at the Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce about 10 years ago and did these trips at that time as well. And actually, Albuquerque now even goes internationally. So this is the fifth trip we've done. We've gone to Austin, Portland, Albuquerque, and Huntsville. And oftentimes people say, well, what's been the, you know, the real result of these trips? And in every case, we've had a result and a project move forward in the community. In Austin, or as a byproduct of Austin, we developed our economic blueprint. In Portland, we learned about transit-oriented development. I know you had Bob on earlier talking about the modern streetcar. We learned about the importance of the creative class. And there have been a number of groups that have latched on to that, Tucson Young Professionals being one, where, you know, we've got a group now that are focused on making sure that these folks are happy here in the Tucson area. In Albuquerque, you know, they're very much like Tucson. They've maximized their potential, lots of good solar strategies and downtown strategies there. But probably the most recent one in Huntsville really helped our community understand how to assist major employers like Raytheon. And so that really had a very tangible result in the buffer zone acquisition. So why San Diego? San Diego is widely recognized for growing its own. California has a lot of challenges in recruiting companies, high costs, their tax base, et cetera, but they've still built a very vibrant economy. And so why is that? Well, they have many similarities to Tucson. They have a major research university, military, tourism, et cetera. So we had two very specific goals under that umbrella of growing your own: learning how their bioscience community has grown and accelerated and prospered. We have an emerging bioscience sector here. And both our border communities, we've really learned a lot how San Diego works with Mexico to create that shared economy. So
So Laura, you think this trip will pay dividends, this San Diego trip?
Oh, absolutely. We have a full report that we presented to the City Council yesterday. It's available for anyone to view and read. They can just call or email us, and I'd be happy to provide it. I also want to bring up a few other points about these trips. These trips are privately funded. There are absolutely no taxpayers' dollars involved from TRIO's operating budget. The participants pay a fee to come. All of our costs are covered under that fee. We provide scholarships to public officials to attend the trip so that they don't have to go on their own dime if they request it. The agenda is full. We go 12 hours a day for several days. So it's very important to understand they're privately funded. And a good analogy is if you belong to a membership organization, or let's say you're a university student, you pay tuition for the basic service. But if you want to go to an extra event or pay for an extra program, that's a similar analogy to how these trips work. So again, they're all privately funded.
Now, as far as what TRIO is doing this year, what kind of progress can you report to our listeners?
Oh, sure. Well, we operate on a fiscal year basis. In the last year, since July of 2011, we've worked with about 11 companies through our traditional, what we call blocking and tackling here at TRIO. We do facilitation and coordination of all of the different jurisdictions and businesses here to help respond with a unified voice to business expansion and attraction opportunities. Often that involves site selection, real estate and facility, research assistance, employee relocation assistance, supply chain, et cetera. So we worked with about 11 companies. That's nearly 2,500 direct and indirect jobs. If you understand, direct jobs obviously are pretty self-explanatory, but oftentimes indirect jobs come as a result of additional employees in the community. They go out and spend money at hotels and bars and restaurants and things like that. So 2,500 total new jobs, a capital investment of $55 million, and $254 million economic impact. So wide variety of companies, some expanding here in the region and others new in the region. And so we're very excited. We've got a full pipeline of 30 projects that we're working on a day-in and day-out basis. And we've got a good story to tell.
You know, economic development is so competitive. You mentioned about these familiarization trips, very common for economic developers. It's also very common for cities to have organizations like TRIO. And I think that picture sometimes is lost, that TRIO is somehow unique in creating economic environment. But most major cities have some kind of economic development organization, correct?
Oh, they absolutely do. Most communities, large and small, have economic development groups, and every community is different. Sometimes those groups are based like TRIO, where they're regionally based, and they work on not just business attraction, but also retention and expansion and creation. That's more of the trend in the national economic development world, and that's why TRIO was formed in 2005, is at that point, we had a lot of competing ED groups here in the region, and yet from outside the markets, businesses were saying, I don't know who to go to figure out what Tucson's all about and whether I should have my business there. And local companies were saying the same thing. So our mission is to be that unified voice and to coordinate and facilitate. And so we do that with companies day in and day out. We also work with many community partners in partnership in working with companies. So if TRIO announces a company, it means that we worked with them closely. Other folks probably also worked with them because that really goes to the heart of our mission. But we, you know, that's really what we do is that sort of blocking and tackling that we call it internally. But the other thing we do as part of our mission is make sure that we're competitive. Again, going back to what our mission is, we have a philosophy here at TRIO that if we can all agree to a shared value system, invest in our region, and build a competitive community, then jobs will be a byproduct. The companies and the people will follow to these really great communities.
And as far as the public-private partnership, the private sector has really stepped up in the last few years with TRIO.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when we were first founded, we were very fortunate to have the public sector seed TRIO's operating budget back in 2005. We were 100% publicly funded at that point. We've transformed by design into much more of a private-public partnership. Right now, the mix is 60% private and 40% public. So we've dropped in our public sector investment by about 60%. And that's really by design. If you think about all the different community players that have a vested interest in economic development, it is everyone. It is the public sector because they'll be able to generate more taxes by a better economy. It's the private sector because you get critical mass and have a really vibrant economy and there's more workers and more revenue flowing in. And also academia. We have both presidents of the major universities in Arizona, both the U of A and ASU. We have Pima Community College. We have the University of Phoenix. Everyone is sitting at the table, and we're a very unique group in the Tucson region for that reason.
And people can find out more at trioaz.org. There's
Absolutely.
The full list with bios of all of your board members right up
yes.
there.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Laura Shaw, thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
Laura
bye.
Shaw with us from TRIO. This is the Buckmaster Show at 12:45. We'll talk about the hopefully coming soon monsoon when we come back.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50-plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for Buckmaster comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Also, we are sponsored by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Looking for a cool weekend getaway? We strongly suggest Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. The fire in the Gila Wilderness area is not impacting Silver City, where the air quality is still good and the mile-high elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. And there's plenty of good accommodation there, including Casitas de Gila Guest House. Check out more at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, we are waiting for the monsoon to begin. The Monsoon Awareness Week currently underway here in Arizona. Today, the University of Arizona Climate Assessment for the Southwest Group presented a 2012 monsoon briefing. Joining us in studio is Zach Guido, Associate Fiscal Scientist for the Climate Assessment for the Southwest, which is based at the University of Arizona's Institute for the Environment. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I hope you have brought some good news about our upcoming thunderstorm season. What can you tell us?
Well, I think there is some good news, although it kind of depends on who you talk to. The forecast, the official forecast offered by the Climate Prediction Center from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is saying that it's basically a coin flip between whether or not it's going to be above average or below average monsoon this year. But there are many different ways to look at the data. And some of the people that I've talked to who have sliced the data and looked at current conditions and certain variables of those current conditions and then asked the question, well, what years in the past have been similar to what we're seeing right now? And when you do that, what kind of emerges is that the monsoon may start on time, if not a little bit early, and that typically is around the first week in July. And the first month may be average or slightly better than average. And then it's much more difficult to predict thereafter. But again, looking at sort of the past as a key to the present, August may be a little bit drier. And then as we transition, and it's likely that we're going to transition into an El Nino later this summer, there might be more hurricanes, tropical storms in the Pacific, which would bring more rain in September. So I think on the one hand, the official forecast is we don't really know, and that's nothing new. That's typically our forecast here. But some people who have been doing this a long time also think that the monsoon may start on time and be a little bit better than what we've seen in the past.
But we don't see any buildup really in central Mexico yet, do we?
Not yet. So I should step back and say that another indication that the monsoon maybe start on time is that it's really dry in the Midwest right now. And looking at the past again, when that's been the case, the monsoon in the Southwest, in Arizona and New Mexico, and even in parts of northern Mexico have started on time. So I suspect, although, again, it's iffy, but I suspect that we'll start seeing the monsoon get ramped up here and shortly.
Zach Guido is with us from the University of Arizona. He's a climate scientist, and in front of Zach is a map that he brought, and I'm telling you, there's enough red on that map. And it's a map of basically the southwestern United States, and it's showing the drought situation, and the darker the red color, the deeper into drought, and I'm telling you, Arizona does not look good.
No, that's right. So the map that I'm looking at is basically the percent of average of precipitation in the last 6 months since about mid-December all the way up to yesterday. And for most of Arizona, it was a very dry winter. Less than 50% of average fell. Some parts saw less than 25% of average. And this was the second year in a row in which La Nina, which was the case this winter, exerted a pretty strong influence on our conditions. And we're not as dry as we were last summer coming into the monsoon season, but we're pretty dry. And currently, about 96% of the state is experiencing some drought conditions with, I believe, about 40% in extreme drought.
How long have we been in a drought?
Ooh. I believe most people will say that right around 2000 is when we started the drought. And it kind of depends on if you're talking about short-term drought conditions, if you're interested in vegetation, or if you're interested in longer-term drought conditions, such as water supply. And you can define drought differently. But I think most people would say that the drought began about 2000. And we've seen, while we've seen periods of above-average precipitation during those 12 years or so, it's been by and large below average.
The fire conditions have really been terrible, haven't they?
They have. Right now in New Mexico, the Whitewater Baldy Complex is at about 280,000 acres. In Arizona, we've got five fires that are ongoing, and about 62,000 acres have burned, which is less than average. Arizona tends to see on the order of 150,000, 170,000 acres burned each year, with the most acres occurring in this month and in May. Right before most of the fires occur right before the monsoon ramps up. So there's still time in Arizona for more fires to start. But again, it's not as bad of a situation as we saw last year. I believe today is the anniversary in which the fire in Sierra Vista and the Fort Huachuca mm-hmm. ignited. So it is a bad situation. It's been dry, and that causes increased chances for fires. And so probably in the next couple of weeks, there'll be more starting.
Many folks may have seen the front page of the Arizona Daily Star, the Tony Davis piece in the Star today, is drought a side effect of Southwest warming? Basically, your organization, the Southwest Climate Group, had a kind of a summit, and I guess there's going to be a full version of this report released in August. But bottom line, according to Tony in his report, was that the 50 years ending up to the year 2000 were the Southwest's warmest for at least 600 years, which underscores studies showing that really human-caused climate change is heating up the region, isn't it?
Well, I think there's little doubt in the scientific community that temperatures are rising, and they're largely influenced by human actions like burning fossil fuels. And that does impact drought. Because even if you hold precipitation the same, if you have a warmer atmosphere, land surface conditions are going to be drier. And that's because the atmosphere can pull more moisture out of the land through evaporation and through plants transpiring that moisture to the atmosphere. And so warmer means drier. It is a hydrologic variable, and I think that's not something that's often recognized. So there's been studies that have looked at the difference between the current drought conditions and the period in the past that was the most severe, which was in the 1950s. And basically, many of the things have been the same except for temperature. Temperature's
really?
Been warmer. And because of it, it's been drier.
Yeah, the 1950s certainly was one of the big drought events here of the 20th century in southern Arizona. And we really it's interesting because we're lucky to have the finest tree ring analysts in really the world here at the University of Arizona. And their reconstructions of those tree rings have told us a lot about drought over the last 1,000 or even 2,000 years, haven't they?
Yeah, it's amazing. It is a great resource, and it's becoming more and more important. Some of the important studies that have been done have been reconstructing using these tree rings, the flows on the Colorado River going back 1,200, 1,300 years. And the story that emerges from those tree rings is that our Colorado River is over-allocated by a lot. And it just so happened that in the 1920s, when the Colorado Compact was signed, we were experiencing the highest flows in the historical record. At that time, that the data wasn't that long. But when you go back and look at the tree rings, we now see that over the last 1,500 years, in the 20s when the Colorado Compact was signed, flows in the Colorado have never been higher. And so we're over-allocated. Even if precipitation increases, the amount of water flowing in the Colorado River, there's more use on it than there is
with everybody supply. Wanting a piece of the action, basically, of it.
It's going to be a big challenge.
And by the way, Dr. Tom Swetnam, who heads up the Tree Ring Lab, has been a frequent guest on the show, and we've often talked about historic droughts. And I think he said there was one in the 12th century here in Arizona that was a monster. I think, is 50 years sound about right?
50 years of
the driest period of like the last 1,000 years or something?
I believe it's called the 12th century mega drought. And these are droughts that occur for decades, and they're, below, 85% of average. And so it's a prolonged, very prolonged period of dry conditions. And we've never experienced that in the historical record. Another important part of these tree rings is we only have 100 or 110 years of data. And with the tree rings, we can go back and look at the longer record on the order of 1,000, 1,500 years.
Well, I hope we're not in for an historic drought here. Maybe it would be one like the 50s, which lasted about 10 years or so.
Well, I'm optimistic that we'll have a good monsoon season, although I wouldn't bet on it just because the monsoon is a difficult thing to predict.
Is there a place that folks can get more information on the web, Zach?
Sure. You can go to the National Weather Service has a great monsoon page. If you just Google search National Weather Service, Tucson and monsoon, it should be one of the first couple hits. Our website also has a lot of good information, and that's www.climas.arizona.edu. And Climas is spelled C-L-I-M-A-S or Climas.
Zach Guido from Climate Assessment for the Southwest at the University of Arizona, thank you very much, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for an active thunderstorm season.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We love Culligan water. And why do we love Culligan? Well, it simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Tomorrow, it's the Friday Focus interview, and Tucson City Councilman, Ward 6 Councilman, Republican Steve Kasachek will be our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. I'll be joined by Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, and also Jimmy Bogle from the Tucson Weekly. That'll be tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.